Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you share it with a friend. This evening, Pastor Terrell continues the study entitled, Discovering the Gifts from the Holy Spirit. In this third lesson, Pastor John's teaching is based upon his book, Christian Dynamics Course 4. Every Christian who has been baptized in the Holy Spirit has spiritual gifts. Just like you were born with certain natural gifts, the same holds true with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Those gifts just need to be discovered and developed. You are not an accident, but were designed by God before creation ever began. Your nationality, parents, and the time period you were born into were all predetermined by God. He deliberately made your body and soul in such a way that you could do whatever He calls you to do. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins Lesson 3 entitled, Understanding the Gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Well, praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church for our Thursday night Bible study. And tonight, we're going to get into Lesson 42. Understanding the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the scripture I'm going to start on tonight is 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 7. But before we do that, let's stand and let's pray. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise that you helped us to sing here tonight, Lord. Father God, when we are down in the dumps, the only way out is to have the joy of the Lord. Father God, it's been a rough day for me today, Lord, and I thank you that I can just praise you. Even if some of the things went wrong today, Lord, I can praise you, worship you, because I know that someday I'm going to leave this earth and go and be with you in heaven forever and ever. With no sin, no sickness, no problems, no devil, and no sinful flesh. So, Father, tonight, help us get into the Word. And, Lord, show us what you want us to do. And I thank and I praise you now for a mighty move of the Holy Spirit tonight. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. You remember now that what I told you in the first few lessons, we could just have a little repeat. I don't have my outline here for that. Now, what was the first thing that you learned in lesson number one, 3 weeks ago? Who are you? You are a gift. Remember that? All right? Each one of us is a gift, and we are gifts to one another that God has given us to His church. Every Christian that's been baptized in the Holy Spirit has a spiritual gift. Let's look now in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 7. For I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man has his proper gift of God, one after this manner, and another after that. Each one of us, we have a gift. Some of you might say, well, I don't know if I have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. How can I know if I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit? If you have asked God and said, Lord, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, He will move upon you and the Holy Spirit will come. There's a teaching, particularly in the Pentecostals, they simply say, well, you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit unless you speak in tongues. And if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, then you're not saved. And it's a merry-go-round. Now, how do we get saved? We simply repent of our sins. We ask God for forgiveness. We ask Jesus to come into our heart. And we surrender to Him, and we are saved by faith. Now, how do we know we are saved? Well, I'm going to give you a bonus scripture here. So if you turn to Romans chapter 10, and that's Romans, the 10th chapter. If you pick it up in verse number, let's see, Romans 10, that's 9. There's 10. And then we pick it up here in verse number 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's no place in the Bible where it says now that when you get saved, you have to feel good, you got to have this happen or happen. Salvation is an act of faith. God doing the work, we receiving it. And then we read this. For whosoever should be called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then we find here in verse number 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When I was saved, I had certain gifts of operating in my life. And then when I asked for to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I did not speak in tongues at that particular time. And people says, well, I don't think you have been baptized in the Spirit. But I noticed a difference, and it was different than this. I had more power to preach, and I had power to do things. Then God moved upon me, and we were in a huge meeting, and probably a couple of thousand people in that particular church. And the choir was singing, and as the choir had stopped singing, a woman began to pray and speak out in tongues. And as she did that, I said, well, I hope that somebody here in this huge group of people will have the interpretation. So I just sat there, you know, and just listened to the speaking in tongues, and then after a few minutes, and I said, okay, this could be interesting now to hear the interpretation. There was none coming. Then the Holy Spirit said, open your mouth, you got the interpretation. Oh, I did not want to do it because I didn't have the interpretation. I did not have it. Holy Spirit said, open your mouth. So I opened my mouth and I got a word. And then a second word and a third word. And suddenly I was just listening to myself speaking, not knowing what I was saying. I could hear me speaking. I didn't know that I knew this kind of stuff. And it was the Holy Spirit simply took my mouth and spoke the words. And afterwards, the woman who had the spoken in tongues said, you got exactly the same interpretation as I did. Remember now, this is done in Swedish, not in English. Now after that, the Holy Spirit showed me that he simply said this, I'm in control of the gift, you are not. And I can do whatever I want to do. I can simply bring a gift in, I can simply use you anytime I want to. I engage you, all you need to do is to be very, very obedient. Let's read now the text here that we have on page number 1. As we discussed in lessons 6 and 7 of the basic course, every spirit-filled believer in Christ receives spiritual gifts from God. There are some differences of opinion concerning whether or not a person must be baptized in the Holy Spirit before we can receive his gifts. My personal interpretation of the Bible is that the normal development as set forth in the book of Acts is that people got saved, baptized in water, also in the Holy Spirit before receiving the gifts. We must remember that Jesus did not promise his followers power until they had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you want to, you can turn to Acts chapter 1. You have it in your outline. And I will read it from the outline. That's the book of Acts chapter 1. And we read verses 4, 5, and then 8. And being assembled together with them, this is Jesus speaking now, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus did not here mention the different gifts. He simply said, now you shall receive power. Power of and from the Holy Spirit. We need that power in order to function in our personal lives. How does that power work? Well, let me try to illustrate this for you. Let's say when you drove into church here tonight, how many of you simply put the gear in, if you had an automatic or if you have a shift, and then you floored the gas pedal, and you simply had it floored all the way to the church? How many of you drove like that in here? Now, what do you use a gas pedal for? Now, you only activate your gas pedal according to the power you need. You very seldom do you floor it. The same thing is true now with the Holy Spirit. God is not going to floor you all the time where you simply go, hallelujah, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. He simply very gently puts the power in when you need it, and he eases up on a gas pedal. And thus, if we have faith now, we will notice that when I need the power, it is there. But just because, you know, I don't feel the goosebumps and stuff, you know, maybe the Holy Spirit left me. No, he has not left you. He's still there, and he will manifest himself as there is a need. So be encouraged if you're not always hyped up. Now, I have noticed this with some Pentecostal ministers. They are almost expected, you know, when they walk in. And I saw this very much when I was overseas, that these guys were normal, just talking like this. You know, the moment they're going to start the service, they go, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord, oh, glory, hallelujah, like this, you know. And then as soon as the service over, they turn it off, and, you know, they were just normal again. So it was a show to let the people know, you know, I have the Holy Ghost. You don't have to impress people. You don't have to tell them, well, these are the gifts I have. You simply move as the Holy Spirit guide you. And when it's a need, you simply let the Holy Spirit activate things inside of you. Let me read now from the outline. When we were born physically, we possessed certain natural abilities. We were born again spiritual. We received certain spiritual abilities as members of the body of Christ, which will be brought forth through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Notice that it is through the empowering of the Holy Spirit that these gifts can operate. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no manifestation of these gifts. And now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to pick it up in verse number 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. You and I need now to simply say this. First of all, if you can't love yourself, then you're going to have very difficult to operate in the gifts. Very difficult. And when I started out as a Christian, walking with the Lord, I knew I was saved. But I simply viewed myself like, you know, God saved me, but I'm not really worth that much. And I always felt inferior to anyone else. Anyone showed up in a room and I felt inferior. I simply thought, well, this guy's better than me. God loves him more than me, you know, so I'm just going to back off and let him, whatever it is, do the things. And you got to come to the place that God loves each one of us. There are no duds in God's kingdom. And the name of the church here is Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. That is not a name that we simply sat down and said, well, let's have a contest. Everybody, you know, write down a card what you think the church would be known as, and, you know, we then have a little contest on it. When the church was named, I was in an airplane. Some of you have heard this before. And I was arguing with God. I didn't want to start another church. And I said, well, if I'm going to start a church, I need to know what is a name. And clear as a bell inside of me, Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. What does resurrection mean? It means that something is dead, is being resurrected. And this is a spiritual repair shop. You simply drag your vehicles in here, and the Holy Ghost will work on you, and people can get restored, rebuilt, and put back again much better than they even have ever been in their lives. So you need to begin to think about this. I am loved by the Father. I am somebody in the kingdom of God. I'm not a castaway. And I'm going to ask God to help me to love myself and to be the person God wants me to be. That's the first step into healing. Now, I share with you, and I bring it out again to you, that I had a severe arrested development spirit. And I did not know it, and no one else knew it. And here I was preaching for probably 20, 25 years. And inside, I was a little boy. And I probably was no more than 2 or 3 years old. I was very immature. And I didn't know what to do with it. And over the years, since I was a pastor, every time they said Pastor Terrell or Mr. Terrell, I turned around to see where's my dad. Because I couldn't see anyone calling me Mr. Terrell or Pastor Terrell. I always called my elders the boys. And me and the boys were going to have a little meeting. And it was in the late 1980s that I ran across a teaching on the arrested development spirit. I read it, and I said, that's me. Wow. Well, praise God, I took care of it, prayed over that thing. And you know, after about a year or 2 years, I caught up to my age, and today I realize I am not a boy, I am a man. That was a big revelation for me. A lot of women walk around, they feel I'm just a little girl trapped in a woman's body. And I don't know what to do with myself. So if you have an arrested development spirit, and I'm not going to even teach on that tonight, the thing to do is to simply get rid of that thing and start growing in the Lord. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. But all these work that one and selfish spirit, I'm in verse 11 now, dividing to every man severally as he wills. Put yourself now in my shoes. Let's say that God is simply moving you to a different country. Let's say Brazil. In Brazil, they speak Portuguese. Man, I slaughtered that. Portuguese, right? I got it right. I got a thumb up for the sound crew. Now, so you're going to move down to Brazil. You don't speak the language. You would be intimidated, wouldn't you? So, there's two things you can do. You can either say this, give me time, and I will learn the language. Or you can be discouraged and says, well, you know, I can never learn. I mean, this is too difficult. I can never learn that. I want you to leave me with one thing here tonight that I want you to take home with you really good. There is nothing you can't do. Remember that. There is nothing you can do. All things are possible with God. And if God wants you to do something, He will make it to happen, and He will give you the gifts, He will give you the ability, and you can do it. The problem is, again, faith. Lack of faith, unbelief. Who am I? I'm nobody. You know, I'm a failure. I'm this and that. And the devil simply says, yes, that's what you are. Shut up, sit down, do nothing. Just waste your time. Wait for them to come and take you away and put you under the grass. So you got to make up your mind what you're going to do with your life. Now turn to Romans chapter 12. Let's back to Romans, and we're going to look in chapter number 12. It's Romans 12, verses 4 through 8. Now think about this. A year and a half ago, God told me that we were to have webcasting. We did not have the computers, we did not have any of the equipment, cameras, and remember this now, no one in this ministry had ever run cameras, computers, and done this anytime. But here was my attitude. I simply felt this. We didn't have the money. So I said, God, you got to furnish the money. And I had a very strong confidence. Beginning with Josh, he was the only one we had back there to begin with. And that we would be able to get people here that could be trained and learn and operate. We had a company come in, set things up. They gave us a little bit of training. And here we have now four people on Sunday morning working this out. And I'm getting nothing but praise from people in different places saying, your color is good. You guys are good. You know, they think, you know, we have done this a long time. But we haven't. Now, if I would have gone up to these people and said, you know, what do you know about cameras? Oh, you don't know nothing? Well, I'm not going to talk to you. You know, you're worthless. You can't do this. We would have no one there. But I simply said, who wants to work here? And people says, well, I'll do. And I felt this, the Holy Spirit will equip these people and they will do the job just fine. This is the attitude you got to take. I can. With God's help, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now turn to Romans 12, verse number 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. of ministry letteth wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorts on exhortation, he that gives, let him do it with simplicity, he that rules with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Now look at verse number 10. It might not be up on the screen for you right now. That it's a little bit bonus here. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Now how should we minister to one another? We should simply minister in love and recognize that this is a brother, this is a sister in Christ. They are gifts to us. They have the Holy Spirit in them, and they can do anything that God asks them to do. Nothing is impossible. The only problem we have is in our heads. And when we have been programmed a long time back for failure, we will then fail. The first decision you're going to have to make is simple this. You make a decision that I'm not going to fail anymore. Now, a successful person is a person that tries many times, and every time he fails, he try again and try again until you get it right. This is the attitude that we simply got to have. Bottom of page 1 now. The Bible teaches us that God knew us before our physical birth. And when he created our souls, he created them uniquely with the qualities needed to carry out God's purpose. If you flip over your lesson now, we're going to go to Jeremiah. And I'm going to turn to Jeremiah in the Bible. Jeremiah chapter 1. Here's the situation now with Jeremiah. Israel was in deep trouble. Nothing was going right. Now, who is Jeremiah? Well, we read from verse 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Now, here's a man, he's probably in his 30s, maybe 25, 30 years old. He has never prophesied before in his life. He doesn't even think about, I'm going to be a prophet. And the word of God came simply to him. And look what he says in verse number 5. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctify you. And I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. A child at that time, 30 years was the legal age in Israel. So he was probably somewhere under 30 years of age. What does this tell us? It simply tells us this, that before God started the creation, and I'm going to use terms we can understand right now, he was looking at his super-duper computer with a screen unbelievable huge. And there was beginning of time, end of time, and he has his big chart. He now see all these events going to happen there. And he simply says this, well, I'm going to pick this in 1940 A.D. I have a need of this person. So he says, now I need this person in this country. That time it's going to be a male or a female, whatever it is. God simply, just like when you go to a car dealer and you got enough money, you can do it. And you go to the car dealer and says, I want a special order a car. This is what I want. These are the wheels. This is this. This is that. You put a whole list on it. And it says, fine. The order is sent to the factory and on the computers. And then between regular production, here comes your car in. And they simply pull out and says, well, put this in, put that in, put this in. And when the car rolls off the assembly line, it is a special custom-built car for a specific customer. And you get it. That's how God builds you and me. You are a special custom-built car, vehicle, that he simply said, this is what I want, this is what I'm going to do. And if we understand that, we can simply relax and say, praise God. My ears might not be in the right place, but that's where God wants them. Have you noticed something there? People with straight hair always curl their hair. They want kinky hair. People with kinky hair always try to straighten their hair out. They want straight hair. People that are white or whitish, they like to be brown. You have tanning saloons. They always want to change the skin color. People who are born black always want to get more lighter, and they do things with their skin. You notice this? No one is satisfied with the way we were built. We always try to change. This is the first step, is to simply say, look, praise God, this is how I'm born. Now, if you look close up to me, you know, you find out that my teeth are not like your teeth. My teeth are, you know, like somebody's knocked out someone in between, you know, and I got funny looking teeth. I didn't have, when I was a young boy, I never got the real teeth. I had what they call the baby teeth, and nothing came up after that than part of my mouth. And people would just tease me in school. They called me the rat. Gnawing, see? Well, I felt bad about it, so, you know, I would never smile. Hello, how are you? I'm not going to show you my teeth, you know. Well, this is how God made me. Bless my grandma. When I was 18, she simply said this, I'm going to give you 1,000 crowns. It'll be like 10,000 now. And she said, you put a bridge in. So they put a bridge in. The dentist said it was good for 20 years. Well, praise God, I had now closed for 50. So it's going to stay with me until I go, you know, to be with the Lord. But I realized this. My teeth are yellow. They are crooked. But you know what? I got a good bite. I can eat well. Praise God, you know, I don't have denture. And says, this is the way God made me. I'm going to smile. You know, people might look at me and says, well, you know, it looked that great. You know what? Talk to him. He designed me. I didn't decide. I just rolled off the assembly line. He designed me. So you got to just come to the place where you simply say, praise God, this is who I am. That's how I look. Tough luck. You know, I don't care. I'm not going to remake myself. You know, for a long time, I tried to color my hair. I told a story of that. Then God says, fine. If you're going to keep doing that, he says, you know what? Just take your hair off. Then you don't have to worry about coloring it. I says, God, no. Let's not go this road. Heavenly Father, I said, I'll take whatever color I get. Just let me have some hair. All right? Let's just be who we are and relax in it. And don't feel, you know, that I got to change this and this and that. You are you and I'm I. Or me. And we simply move on and we recognize I'm a gift from God. Now, In verse number 7, God said this. But the Lord said to Mary, say not, I'm a child, for you shall go to all that I shall send you, and whatsoever I command you, you shall speak. God is saying now to this young person, I'm going to go with you, I'm going to send you, whatsoever I command you, you shall speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with you, to deliver you, says the Lord. This is what God is saying to you and me today. He is with us. He is sending us out. He's building something in these last days. He's building a team. Not only in this church, we are a church, not the church. Remember that. There are many small churches like ours. Some of them are bigger. We're going to grow bigger as God is adding to us. But he simply will put the words in our mouth. You are meeting people every day that I cannot meet. I will never meet your friends, people you work with and so on. I will never meet them. But what I can do is this. I can simply implant truth into you. And you take that truth and you go out and give that to your friends or people that you meet. This is how God wants to work. I believe there's time when you're going to train people behind you that you're going to train and to send out. And then look in verse number 10. See, I have this day set you over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. This is what he told Jeremiah. This is the same message to you and me today. We are to root out, pull down, destroy the works of the devil, to throw down idolatry, and then to build and to plant. That is our job. Now, if you turn here with me in the Bible to Isaiah 49. That's Isaiah chapter 49. Another prophet, and he said exactly the same thing. Isaiah 49:1. Listen, whiles, unto me, and hearken, you people from far. The Lord has called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother has he made mention of my name. And he's made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand has he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver has he hid me. When your mom and dad conceived you, I want really to drill that home. When you were conceived, it was not an accident. God had planned out your mom and dad. He planned out the conception. And he simply placed you there. He put your soul in place. He had put everything in you that you needed, that he wanted. And then in time, he saved you. He moved you into his kingdom. He's not polishing you. He's empowering you. And he's moving you around to do what he wants done. So begin to rejoice. Now look in Galatians chapter 1. Now the good news is that there is no age limit in serving God. That's the good news. And you can be a late bloomer. That is not impossible either. Matter of fact, it is many people are late bloomers. It takes some people a bit longer to bloom. But you know what? When we bloom, we have the capacity to keep the blooming going a long time. Because we've been around the block. This is what Paul said. When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them but were passed before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Paul says, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. I want you to get a feel on this. Let's go back almost 2,000 years. Up in southern Turkey now, in the city of Tarsus, there was a Jew and his wife, and they came together and conceived a son. Do you think that they, some 2,000 years ago, would look at each other and he would say, look, honey, you're pregnant, you know, and the wife was a little bit, you know, showing it, you know, he would pat on the stomach and say, you know what, honey, this little baby in here, 2,000 years from now, they're going to read his stuff. You think that she said that? They said that? You know what I thought? Just another baby. Just another baby. Happened to be Jewish. He was not another baby. He was a man that God had called to write most of the New Testament. He was a man that God said, yes, I'm going to have you born around 5 B.C. or something like this. But he said, your work is going to be two-faced. You're going to work in your generation, but your writings are going to go for thousands of years into the future. That's what he called Paul to. So now you're looking upon yourself and says, okay, now work. Do I do in the kingdom of God? Well, the good news is this. We are in a time of upheaval. We got the economy collapsing around us. We got all kind of upheaval. People are losing their jobs and so on. It's an exciting time. And this is a time when God simply said, I have had you to be born in this time for this purpose because I have a job for each one of you. And things are collapsing around us. You'll be able to stand and say, well, you know, I'm not too worried about things. God is in control. Seek ye first the righteousness of God and his kingdom, and all the things will be added unto you. We sang that before we started. You are a gift. Now, if you only lead one person to Christ, how much is one person valued according to the Word of God? One soul is worth more than the entire world to get all the wealth in the world. If you lead one soul to Christ, what do you think that person is going to say to you when you have walked into the pearly gates and suddenly you see someone you knew back on earth come up to you with a big grin from ear to ear and just give you a big hug and says, God bless you. I love you, man. You led me to Christ and I'm here, not in hell. One. But you see, you and I can lead more than one person. But if you have this understanding that just one person that we can help and lead to Christ, or one person we can pray for healing, or one person we can help to get out of with demonic forces, or one person we can encourage, it's worthwhile everything. Let me talk about gears. Let's talk about a regular shifting car, you know, not an automatic transmission. You got gears in there. And you got so many teeth on each one, you know, so many on a gear. And that thing just goes all the time and just hit another tooth, you know, just go back like this all the time. And can you imagine all that each little tooth they're saying, you know, what life is this? Here we're sitting in this oil getting hot. I'm hitting this guy. He's moving, you know. What's life all about? He doesn't know that he's used to propel a vehicle forward. You and I might be a little cog on a wheel. But you see, God is using us to move and position things and do things in the spirit world that we cannot see right now. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So what we should do is this every day we should say, thank you, Lord, I'm on this side of the grass. I'm alive. I got this day in front of me. This is a song that I like for us to sing. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing for someone today. If you wake up in the morning and instead of saying, you simply say, thank you, Lord, good morning. Make me a blessing today. He will. Simple things you can do. Now, this is what I try to do. In the old days, I never get anyone any slack when I'm driving. I mean, I maintain my right. I would go up, almost kiss the bumper of the next guy, you know, just to make sure that no one cut in front of me. And, you know, I left people in the dust and so on. But I learned this now. I'm driving, and I see someone sitting in the parking lot. You know, there's a lot of traffic coming on. I don't care what they say behind me. I just kind of slow down and wave them on, you know. And you know what you get? You get a smile. They go, thank you. Makes you feel good. You might never talk to them, whatever it is. But you know, you were a blessing to someone. And I tell you this. Jesus said, do unto others as you want them to do unto you. And I found out when I'm stuck in a parking lot someplace, there's always somebody who will just go, come on. I said, thank you. Small things that we can do for others, insignificant maybe, but they will count. Let me take you back here to page number 2 as you come down to the place we can stop. And I'll read again here. Every person that's ever lived on this earth has been very carefully created by God, selected to be born at a certain time and in a certain nation and to selected parents. Everyone has been predestined to be saved, but not everyone has been obedient to the calling of God. Now, I want to talk next week about predestination. So I'm going to stop right here today. And we're going to pick this up next week. Lord willing, creek won't rise. And, you know, we're still here. But I want to leave you with this note. Get excited over yourself. Now, before you go to bed tonight, I would like you to do a little exercise. All right? It's a simple exercise. I want you to go into the bathroom, close the door so no one, you know, will bother you, stand in front of the mirror and say, thank you, Lord, for my hair, for my ears, for my teeth, for my hands. Thank you, Lord. I'm a gift. Thank you, Lord. And then take your hands, give yourself a hug, and say, I love you. You know what I will do? You do that every night before you go to bed. And after about a few weeks, you're going to say, you know, hey, I really do love myself. Why? Because God made me. I am because He is. I'm a gift. And I'm going to live forever. And when I get on the other side, it's going to be so glorious that I cannot even describe it. Now, let me just tell you this. Things are not always going right. You know, we never had a chance today to eat dinner. Time did not permit that. Driving into the church, I had what you call a visit of a demon called self-pity. You ever met that demon? I'm driving in and thinking, you know, man, I didn't get a dinner tonight. And then I realized, well, you didn't get a dinner today. We didn't have time to eat today. So what? I said, God, take away this lousy attitude I got right now. Take away this griping thought I have in my mind. And Lord, put something nice into me. So we got down here. Had time to pray, seek the Lord, and so on. And then the devil says, you know, no one's going to show up tonight. 7:10, just me, my wife, Mike here. 7:15, no one here. 7:20, and I was thinking, you know, I think the Bible study's over. They're not going to come out anymore. 7:25, the first stragglers start coming in. And then suddenly, you know, we got a good group here tonight. But you see, that's how the devil tried to steal your joy. You know, I could have looked upon that and said, nah, you know, I'm just going to go home, you know. I'm just going to go out and have a bite and go home and go to bed, forget that group down there. But you see, God is teaching me a lesson tonight. And I can share with you that even if you're in a lousy mood, you don't have to stay in a lousy mood. You simply say, God, this is where I'm at. This is what the score is. This is what we have. I'm going to make something great out of it. And you know what? I got excited not teaching you. Because the Holy Spirit is here. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank and praise you tonight for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. And I thank you, Lord, that people will be encouraged here tonight, Lord. And Father God, this group and whoever is watching or listening, Lord, will be everything that you have planned them to be, Lord. That when we meet on the other side, we can say we used our talents well and we gave it all and we were victorious. We thank you now for moving upon us, loving us, healing us, and guiding us. In Jesus' name, amen. May God bless you.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something? Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just 1 commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the third part in the study, Discovering the Gifts from the Holy Spirit, and was entitled, Understanding the Gifts of the Holy Spirit. Every Christian who has been baptized in the Holy Spirit has spiritual gifts. Just like you are born with certain natural gifts, the same holds true with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Those gifts just need to be discovered and developed. You are not an accident, but were designed by God before creation ever began. Your nationality, parents, and the time period you were born into were all predetermined by God. He deliberately made your body and soul in such a way that you could do whatever He calls you to do. This lesson was an excerpt from Pastor John's book, Christian Dynamics Course 4, and is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for Bible Study 1177. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 1-888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.